Mr. Wool Eater?
Yes.
There, perfect. Okay. That's Scott. See if he picks up. Come on, Scott.
Let me guess, you're rolling.
Of course I am.
It's so spontaneous, this show.
It wouldn't be the Bigfoot Show if I wasn't recording from the moment you picked up the phone, right?
Exactly. Is Mr. Wool Eater on?
The Great One is with us. Yes, he is.
Hello, Mr. Wool Eater.
How are you doing, Mr. Spokesman for the Hair Club for Men?
Hey, it's my own hair. It really is my own hair in 3 more payments.
That wasn't a stunt double hair piece?
No, that was actually my own hair. I'm just overly self-conscious about it. So how are you guys tonight?
I'm very good. How are
you? That is doornails, apparently. Good luck. I had 3 cups of coffee. You guys are like, well, it's going pretty good. Yeah. I guess Bigfoot Show, whatever. What's on the agenda?
But you've had the benefit of already being on the air already this evening, so you're already...
That is true. I'm a little hyped up, so it's my job to get you guys revved up. That's
so,
right.
Scott, what were you on this evening? What did you do earlier?
Percodan. It was on the Sasquatch Experience.
How did that go?
It was okay.
Good.
It was fun. There was, you know, finally got to talk to Bill Green. He was on, and yeah, wished him a happy birthday, and found out he was a midget. That was
really
interesting. Yeah, and. That was odd. No, it was good. We yakked about a lot of stuff, and you know, I know that we on the inaugural would that be the correct term? Inaugural Bigfoot Show.
Yes,
we talked a hell of a lot about the Patterson-Gimlin film.
We did,
and I just want you to know there. I have to bring up something. We can do it now or later, but. A new argument on the skeptical side, literally just found this out 10 minutes ago, that Ray G, who I think is a great poster at BigfootForums.com, mm-hmm. brought up that I thought is a really interesting, that obviously doesn't prove anything, as neither do any on the positive side, but it's a really interesting two bits of information that really contradict each other.
Well, now wait a minute. This is in favor of the film, or
no?
In
this would go against the validity of the Patterson film.
So you're saying that you're now the 83 percentile that you had before our last conversation. You were at the 83%, although I think you said it was moving a little higher. Has moved even higher yet?
I would say that's fair. I would say
really?
Right now, as a result of reading this, I'm now at 87.38% skeptical of the Patterson film.
Oh my God!
Since we, you know, and I hate teasing stuff with media. We were talking about that show about how that seems to be a problem now more and more, maybe with Bigfoot shows on TV, the old tease, you know, something, we're going to see what happens right after mm-hmm. this 20-minute commercial. we'll get it right at the end of the show. But is it cool with you guys? Can I just point this thing out? It shouldn't take too long.
Go right ahead.
Go ahead.
Among the things I want to talk about tonight, there was a little PGF stuff that mixed in. So why don't you just,
mm-hmm.
you know, dive right into your thing, and I'll try to artfully segue them together later on.
Good, because I'm just kind of excited about it. I just thought it was interesting. So, and I promise to make this quick.
Does it have anything to do with that parking ticket that Patterson had in
1969? No.
All right. Okay.
It does have to do with his hairy costume they found in his wife's trunk yesterday.
He was a character of ill repute. He was an unpaid parking ticket.
Very clearly someone you want to keep an eye on.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead, Scott.
I
can't wait to hear this. Something about a suit.
I just think, no, I'm just kidding. It has nothing to do with a suit. But what it is this, and this is where I'll just read the right from the post of Ray G at Bigfoot Forums.
This is on the Bigfoot Forums. Okay.
Yeah, Bigfoot Forums, a good plug for Bigfoot Forums. And it's in the doesn't matter if the Patterson-Gimlin film has been edited thread. Okay, so he writes, and it has actually nothing directly to do with whether it was edited, but he points out something in another argument, and this is what he says. He says, the quote, the PGF film of Bigfoot was less than a minute long, and yes, in an interview in Argosy magazine, February 1968, Patterson claimed they tracked the critter for 3.5 miles. Yet, Bob Titmus found evidence at the film site, page 91 of Big Footprints by Grover Krantz, and page 121 of Sasquatch Inc., Apes Among Us by John Green, where the critter walked up a hill to a position only 125 yards from the original film site and sat observing the men below. Which claim is the correct one? They can't both be correct. Can they?
You know, I think we have finally proven that Patterson was really bad at tracking animals.
Yes. No, that Titmus was. Or no, he was a bad...
No, Titmus was good because he actually
That's a perfect example of hearsay. Everybody, so little is known about Bob Titmus. Everybody, I think, gives Bob Titmus this big, you know, thing because Green mentions him a lot in his first book and everybody loves The Apes Among Us and we're all thankful for John Green for bringing that's, you know, all the sightings to us. Mm-hmm. But so little is known. I mean, according to Daigling's book, you know, Peter Byrne was very skeptical of Bob Titmus. He said he was a little, you know, had some kind of negative experience with him and thought he was a little prone to exaggeration. There's actually a quote basically saying that in somewhere in Daigling's book. It's hard to be vague, but it's there, I swear. So, you know, this whole thing where Titmus goes there and then says, well, what evidence? There's mashed down vegetation. How does he know that if, in fact, it was a real Bigfoot or a guy in a suit, that he or she or it went up and sat? How do you conclusively deduce that? I don't know. But you basically, I mean, you have Patterson on the record making this claim that they tracked it for 3.5 miles. This is the interview they did within...
I don't know how they would have had time to track it for 3.5 miles.
Plus, that's what he said. That's what I'm saying. So that's a big contradiction.
I agree with you. It's a big contradiction. But it doesn't really go towards the authenticity of the film. He could just have been, you know, prone to hyperbole and say, oh, yeah, we tracked that thing for 3.5 miles, or I don't know. It's not a smoking gun, is all I'm saying.
Well, I think it goes toward the character of Patterson.
Sure.
And the fact that, you know, for I think we pointed it out in the first one. Craig, are you still awake? Is when, you know, the fact that Patterson brought that guy up down in Alabama and introduced him as Bob Gimlin and said, yeah, I was with this guy and we found it, and Bob Gimlin was actually in Washington at the time. If a guy does that, and it doesn't prove the film is a hoax, obviously, but it goes toward the character of somebody who might attempt to do something like that. So whether or not he did it, granted, is a separate issue, but it's something to consider, and now I'll shut up about that.
Hey, Craig? Craig?
Yeah.
Yes.
Besides John Green, do you know anyone who knew Titmus?
No, I don't. I don't know anybody who personally.
I know I've Thomas Steinberg. I believe knew him only because I heard him say that on Melissa's podcast.
Titmus, you know, Titmus was involved with. He was one that you know, Slick hired. You know, that was involved with the Northwest Expedition. You know, that that whole group of guys, you know, Byrne and DeHinden and Titmus and John Green.
Back when there was only 8 guys in the whole country that would go looking for Bigfoot.
Into Bigfoot, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, way back when. But, yeah. You know, I don't, other than that crew of guys, I don't know anybody that
who knew him personally.
Dealings with Titmus I can think of.
Yeah, you know, and all I'm saying is just so little is known about the guy that there just seems to be this automatic reverence given to him, basically because he's mentioned in John Green's book and he casted Prince and made these claims. I mean, that's it. That alone shouldn't give someone credibility. And on the other hand, it shouldn't necessarily be a negative toward him, but he's kind of put up, he's one of these guys put up on this pedestal, and it's like, well, why? Because he's making claims that support what diehard believers believe.
You know, I bet Rick Knoll knew him. I should ask Rick. I admit that my opinion of him is based primarily on what I've read in Green's books and what I've heard Green write of him. Obviously, yeah. I never met him.
And there couldn't possibly be any bias from John Green. Not at all. A man who owns a copy of the Patterson film. Interesting.
I'm gonna segue. This is my neat pivot here into the small portion of the show, because the last show, I will admit, we talked about the PGF for quite a while. I have noticed that on the Bigfoot Forums website, I'm also going to plug the website again, Discussion has been reignited surrounding possibilities of the suit being, or a suit, if it was a suit.
So you couldn't help but say it, could you?
I couldn't. It's so obvious. Yeah, I don't really believe any of this crap. You know why I'm doing this? I'm doing this for the money. All this Bigfoot stuff, I do it for the money. So anyway, the return of the suit Knicks is kind of the way I'm thinking about this. And I there is a user... Man. There's a user on the Bigfoot forums who goes by Defoot. I really don't know what his real name is. Who, you know, he weaves this very interesting circumstantial web of all these ways that it could have happened and these people who could have done it. And it's almost like he's writing a, you know, a novel or something about it. But the reality is there's still no, as I said before, there's no smoking gun. There's no connection that I know of that puts any of these guys around Patterson.
I think you put it very, very well right there. I think, it's been very, very heated on Bigfoot forums. He's bringing up these scenarios, and the negative of it is that he's stating a lot of it just as fact.
It's always been a problem with him. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's not couching it in hypothetical language, which he would go, his points that he makes, and he does make some really good points and some, I think, some good, fairly plausible scenarios, but when he throws in, well, this is what happened, this, and then he's going to lose the diehard believers from even considering those possibilities by the use of that language. And then coupled, I assume maybe you were going to get to this, but, you know, he has made these kind of vague promises that he was going to actually make a suit and show it. Now, he's made stuff, like, without hair on it, which is, you know, kind of interesting, and I think he's kind of convinced me a little bit, yeah, it seemed to make it more plausible that a suit using 1967 materials is certainly possible. But even as a skeptic, I would still like to see an actual demonstration using the same type of camera, materials only available in 67, approximate same distance, angle away from the camera, and lighting conditions, just for that sake. But he kind of sidesteps it, and then... and then he was, you know, saying, I'll do it, but I need some money to do it. And, yeah, that's kind of weak, whatever. So, I mean, if Defoot, if for any way, if you're listening, which I doubt...
Oh, he won't listen.
He would be listening, he won't listen to this. But, man, you just got to... He makes some really good points, but don't leap to these conclusions without corroborative evidence, you know.
What I would love for him to do, I would love for him to weave all this together in a story that has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And up to this point, he hasn't done that. He's put out lots and lots of scenarios and possibilities and all these things, but none of them are related to one another, and none of them present a unified theory of how Patterson made this amazing suit and who he worked with to do it. Without that, I can't... I mean, it's like talking about the Kennedy assassination. There's lots of different people who could have been involved and lots of different things you can weave together if you've got a good enough imagination, but none of it really is connected in any way to reality.
Right, and I had a really good point, but I was sipping coffee and I forgot.
Well, I'm going to keep talking through your points, and then.
I do. I just remembered what it was. I thought it was a good point, and what I actually like about Defoot's postings is that, I think he posts a lot of interesting pictures. From the time, and you know, again, no conclusive proof, but it does kind of show where some of the. Possible folds you see, if in fact it's a costume, could occur with stuff that was available in 1967. Mm-hmm. And one thing he did in this that I found really impressive, because one thing about the Patterson film, why I'm not a full believing skeptic, and why I'm only at the 87.6838%
and climbing
skeptical range, and climbing, is the back shot of Patty, which is at the first part of the film, where you see the back, and you're going, wow, that looks really taunt, and it looks, you know, there's nothing saggy about it. It's got a spinal indentation, and it seems to flow right into the neck, into the head. And he shows a clip from Planet of the Apes, the new Planet of the Apes, but apparently, and I haven't seen, I don't think Bill Munns, a Hollywood dude who's on the forums doing another thing, who's arguing for it not being a suit, basically. He hasn't argued that the stuff wasn't available in 1967, but he shows this clip shown in relatively, like, pretty clear video up close to the camera, that this guy wearing a similar type of costume walking away from the camera, and it's very similar to the Patterson film. And so, and I know it shows a spinal indentation. The neck blends into the shoulders very well. And that's clear video, like within 15, 20 feet of the camera, as opposed to Patterson's, which was shot on 16mm.
Is that from the recent, the most recent Planet of the Apes movie?
Yes, the recent one. But Deepfoot claims, and again, Bill Munns has been pretty good at going, you know, like tackling any points he makes as far as contradicting him, hasn't argued against him, saying, basically Deepfoot saying that stuff that's in that clip was available in 1967. It was available. Some people say it isn't, but he's saying it was. So, and I haven't heard Bill Munns say, well, it wasn't. So I'm going on the assumption that, in fact, it was possible to do that in 1967, to make that type of look. I'll tell you what, after all this discussion with Bill Munns, who's been great posting on there, I think he's made some really clear, and I really appreciate his non-emotional approach to the whole thing, is I do, if in fact it's a hoax, and I do lean in that direction, that almost certainly I think Patterson had to be dealing with somebody in Hollywood. I find it harder to believe that he just did it by himself.
I was going to say, it seems to me that you would need to have some basic understanding of anatomy and things like that to be able to put together a suit that looks real like that. And I don't know if Patterson had that.
I think he kind of did, though. I mean, if you look at his drawings that he made in his book, he was a pretty good artist. I mean, whether the ones he sketched or copied, I think we talked about before, the one he copied
one more black mark on his soul.
That he actually then put his own initial there. But there's also drawings that he did flat out that are, you know, pretty sure him. He signed it, and they weren't found in any other source. And coupled, again, with Long found out, and again, Long's book is flawed, just like a lot of things on both sides of the argument, but that the guy had a talent. He was pretty artistically talented. He made those stagecoaches from scratch.
you keep talking about these stagecoaches.
I know. I think that is. I think what the guy is. They just love to point at. They just like. I hate the argument. Well, he was just a rodeo cowboy. You know. Well, yeah. Einstein was a patent clerk. Okay, and he did a little thing called a theory
builder.
Was that?
He was a stagecoach builder, apparently.
Yeah.
Patterson was.
Oh, Einstein was?
No.
That would be. Now, how weird would that be, Craig?
If both.
Craig, are you in bed lying down right now? Are you? I'm just curious.
I think he's watching Law and Order or something.
I'm sitting in my office on the computer looking at Bigfoot forums.
That's the best way to.
Watching Law and Order.
He's got the sound turned down.
I don't want trash.
He's reading the subtitles. He's not really paying attention.
He's got the sound turned down. He's just using our voices to fill in with the characters he's pretending with that. Okay. I'll shut up for a little bit. I've had 18 cups of coffee tonight.
I guess, and that sort of closes out the topic. I just wanted to say that it continues to amaze me. We talked about this a month ago on the last show. 40 years and thousands of words being said. I mean, I can't believe I haven't been on the forums for a while, but that thread, the current thread that I saw is dozens of pages long, and it's only been in a couple of weeks. I can't believe the intensity
emotion
of the debate about this film that's older than I am.
It's crazy. I recommend it, though. I think it's if you want to, you can scan through and kind of get past the really super emotional, you know, and personal attacks on both sides. But listening to what he says, and then the reasoned rebuttals to his.
So you're saying
I think it's worth it.
On the forums, I should remove the emotional and personal stuff.
Yeah. So granted, there will only be four posts left.
I was going to say that's about 90% of it, but. Okay, we'll give that a shot.
All right.
I was gonna start the show before you sidetracked us there.
Has the show started?
Oh, we're 20 minutes in already.
Okay.
With this little anecdote, I was in bed the other night watching the news with the wife, waiting for the Daily Show to come on, and this little dwarf of a man named Anderson Cooper. He's very short. I've been told this by someone who saw him at an airport once. He's a very small man. I think he's like four feet tall. Anyway.
Wow.
he's showing me this picture of a rock on Mars that looks like a person walking, and he starts talking about Bigfoot and this amazingly attractive woman who's on the show, Erica Hill, is that her name?
Yes, yeah, she is pretty hot.
She starts talking
looking.
About...
Looking!
Yes.
Yeah.
I know. Starts talking about a friend of hers who looks for Bigfoot, and I'm sitting there next to my wife who's, you know, typing away on her computer, and I'm like, oh, I wonder who that is. I wonder if I know him. She's like, you don't know him. And I said, no, I bet, because, you know, she's in TV. You were in TV. I said, I bet it's Scott. And she says, your name's Scott. And I got to tell you, my wife has never been more impressed that I knew the same guy that she was talking
wow.
about. Yeah. And then what I didn't realize until I was talking to you earlier is you were actually on CNN the next night.
Yeah. She called me the next day about 2 o'clock and said, well, hey, because I emailed her after that, I think, and mentioned about the show. I said, yeah, I started doing this podcast, and it's really fun, and you know, and I don't really, I think she knew it. I'd done the documentaries, Squatching, Journey Towards Squatch. I'm available at Amazon.com. And so she relayed that on to Anderson Cooper's producer, and they said, oh, yeah, well, why don't we have him on? And so it was this big, it was raining here in L.A., and I had to drive out to the studios in Hollywood, and I went there, and as Craig alluded at the top of the show, my hair looked horrible, but it was a lot of fun.
You looked like you'd been drinking, to be perfectly honest with you.
Been drinking. I was down in shots during the show. They had to edit that out.
Now, it was edited, yeah. Though. How much time were you actually talking to Anderson? Because it was obviously edited down.
Yeah, it was a really hard, bad edit there at the end.
Yeah.
I would say approximately 3 minutes, but I knew going in, they told me it would only be about a minute and a half.
So they cut half of it. Well, a minute and a half, because he had to spend another minute and a half showing stupid pictures of...
Yeah, that was kind of lame. it was just that stuff had been done when they were introing the piece,
so,
and they first talked about that. Or do you want to describe it, Brian?
No, I don't want to. It was insulting to you, I thought, and it was insulting to anyone who takes any of this seriously. And I realize that that's a small percentage of the population. And this kind of gets to my question.
Yeah,
we're fairly reasonable people, all three of us, but there are more than three reasonable people in this field, right? And why is it not taken more seriously by the media? Somebody help me out with this, because I see things like that, and I just want to break my TV, and it was too expensive to break.
I think it's the name, partly. I mean, Bigfoot's a goofy name. There's a inherent kitschiness about the Bigfoot phenomena, which I love, but it's only part of the phenomena. You know, it's like the other part is the actual anthropological mystery involved with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just become this thing, and I figured that Anderson was going to be. I didn't think he'd be that skeptical, but you got to figure. Here's a guy, the son of Gloria Vanderbilt. He's probably raised in Manhattan his whole life, and maybe he's been in a forest once when he had to visit a sick gorilla. But so it's just natural, and I don't blame him. I just don't. He probably hasn't read hardly anything about it, which was evidenced when he asked, "What's the difference between a Yeti and a Bigfoot?" And and I said 6 inches.
But I'm ching. Yeah.
Yeah, that was nice when they added the rim shot. I appreciated that. So,
Craig. Craig, you deal I don't know if that's true or not, but you do deal with the media in your position as Supreme Commandant of the Texas Bigfoot Research Conservancy.
Right.
Do you sense that with the people that you deal with, or is it more or less a sort of a reasonable exchange when you're talking to the media about this stuff?
Well, usually I would say that it's rare that you do get somebody that takes it seriously. It happens, but the majority of people, are like Anderson, very, like to look like they're, above it all and throwing the jokes out I've actually hung up on radio interviews in the past when they've just done nothing but that. And live interviews, actually hung up on the air. So, you got to be able to have a sense of humor about it. But, when someone does nothing but consistently ridicule it, I just don't give them the time of day. But, I mean, it wasn't a bad interview. I mean, Scott made some good points. You know, Anderson was one with the smile on his face throughout the whole thing, and obviously making fun of it. And, you know, Erica went along with him for the most part, but, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry, Brian. Go ahead.
No, I said she did. And I'll mention right now, if anybody hasn't seen this and wants to, if they go to thebigfootshow.com, I've posted a link to the CNN page that has the video on it. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, I was going to say, the only thing I was, you know, I don't blame them, because I know it was only going to be a minute and a half, and it was pre-taped. They actually pre-taped that show anyway, but this was the pre-tape before the pre-tape.
Really? That's pre-tape? That's not live?
No, it's not live. It's like an hour before you see it, the first showing, it's been done an hour before. And, I mean, the one thing when I've been interviewed about this, that I really like to try to get out, which I think is one of the most important serious facts concerning the phenomenon in the last 10 years, is Goodall's basic coming out of the Bigfoot closet. But maybe Anderson didn't like that for some reason. Anyway, but that got cut. I did mention it in the 3-minute thing, but it got cut.
See, and that's frustrating, because they had to make time to show, you know, his stupid, not even Photoshopped images. Yeah.
Patty in the studio, yeah. Patty in the subway.
Right.
All that stuff.
But let's not talk about the fact that, and what's amazing to me is whenever I'm able to weave that little tidbit of information in about Jane Goodall into the conversation with people, they're honestly impressed by that, and I think it raises their interest. It doesn't change their mind. It doesn't immediately go, oh, well, if she believes, I believe, but it makes them stop and take notice, because, you know, she's got a pretty well-regarded name.
And I think, when I told Erica that, I think on the phone earlier that day, she was like, really? I mean, she like gasped me again, like, you're not joking. No, she really did that. And then also mentioned the fact that she went on and made, I mean, that it was on the NPR radio interview 6 years ago where she said it, and then she went on to make the video. I think Rick taped it, Rick Knoll.
Yep. Yeah.
That where she was saying, look, this is a valid form of scientific inquiry. This is a valid topic. I mean, the very first thing she said, you remember on the NPR radio interview, the very first thing she said, she goes, I'm sure that they exist. Mm-hmm. And then she backpedaled to a position of probability.
Her percentages, Scott.
Of what, the Patterson film or just Bigfoot in general?
Yeah, both.
I think Bigfoot in general, she is 95% convinced that they exist, and I bet she's probably 100% convinced that they at least existed at some time close to our point in time. I mean, and again, here's a woman who's lived with chimpanzees for 30 years. She married 3, divorced twice. And so she knows chimps and apes. So, no.
Can you be married to more than one chimp at the same time?
If you're a Mormon chimp, yes, you can. One of you guys, Bipta, you said about, it's always been the case when I mention that about Goodall to people, mm-hmm. that they're always like, really? You know, it's like, really? And it does it. This, I just look at it. You got to look at it like a little bit of the door opening a little bit.
Right.
So that the next time they hear a story or they're surfing on the web, they might end up going to Bigfoot forums or some other site where it's being discussed pretty seriously. So who knows?
It's no wonder that people who see things or experience things don't tell anyone, because they see how they'll be treated.
Especially
if they go to Bigfoot forums.
Oh yeah, especially. Well, you know, don't get me started.
I believe that's bigfootforums.com.
.com or .net, actually. They both work now.
Yeah.
I have said before, and I'll say it again, that the forums is the wrong place to go to sort of tell your story for the first time. I really think they should be going to a
psychiatrist?
a psychiatrist, yeah. They should be seeking professional help, medication of some kind. No, I think they should be talking to a local, hopefully a local investigator, and there's several websites. Craig's got one of them where they can go and get in touch with someone. I don't think it's the right place to go to do that for obvious reasons.
Yeah, because
you'll
Yeah, if you could, it would almost be like something like if you did go to the site. I mean, if anybody is listening to this and really seriously feels they had an encounter, I think a thing to do would maybe to go there and don't post publicly, but maybe peruse the members and see who you might be willing to just share it with, just on a direct, email to them. And, it seemed like I'm a little hesitant to go there. I don't want to get, torn apart about this right now. I'm still a little shook up or whatever. What would be your recommendations and just slowly kind of ease into it? Perhaps.
Or they could go to the forums and post it, but say, a friend of mine had this encounter.
I never thought this would happen to me, but exactly. Sort of like the different kind of forums. Okay.
There was a washroom and a dwarf. What?
Third thing on my list to talk about, I was previously we talked about Monster Quest. I actually caught a Monster Quest the other day halfway through that I wasn't going to watch because
how
of
much
the
did it weigh?
I was about halfway through.
No, I said you said you caught a Monster Quest, and I got too late with the joke.
It got away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I couldn't. Okay. I didn't get my camera out. I wasn't even prepared. No, it was about this. The title of the show was American Werewolf, and it was about this in Wisconsin, the quote werewolf unquote sightings. And when I'm watching it, what I'm realizing it's just another Bigfoot Monster Quest that I didn't see the first half of. And the reason I have it on the list is because on Cryptomundo in the past, week or so, a couple of weeks, Craig, you've had a couple of postings about sightings in Wisconsin. What's that all about?
I don't know. There was, and then there's controversy over one of the footprints. Was it Washington County in Wisconsin? Was it in, Washington State? I don't know. I just found it on a newspaper website, photos of tracks and the story. So, there was that.
Was there a full moon?
Then there was some other Bigfoot, another Bigfoot sighting that just recently cropped up in Wisconsin. But I don't know, maybe Bigfoot is defending his turf against the dog man.
There you go. We got a dog man Bigfoot battle going.
Like a cage match or something.
That would be awesome video, man. Maybe Anderson Cooper could ref it.
You got a werewolf versus...
Do you think you can line up Erica to be the card girl?
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think Erica sounds like she's Bigfoot curious. Maybe we should get her out into the field on an expedition.
Yes, she is Bigfoot curious.
BF
curious.
True. No, that was inappropriate.
Yeah.
That was over the line.
That was, I got to tell you,
I better edit that out.
Whatever. She, people, and no, by the way, Gipto, we never dated Erica Hill and I.
I'm
I checked
saying,
on the blog.
I'm only telling you what I read on Wikipedia. Yeah.
We worked together at Tech TV, and she is a great gal. She's, and I must be 90 because I just used the word gal. But, she is awesome. She's funny. She's smart. Obviously not too bad on the eyes. And I think she is. I think she is open to the possibility, certainly more than Anderson. But I think that, Anderson is just, he's a very urban-raised dude. But he does believe in leprechauns. So.
And you just brought your 90 down with the use of dude there, by the way.
Wait, I can't, I can't hear everything. Is the connection with your phone, Craig, is like, this is what this sounds like. That's what it sounded like. So I'm going to say yes. Just guess. What was it?
I was just saying that you said you must be 90 because you used gal, so I thought you might have brought that 90 down a little by using dude.
Yeah, I'm actually 87.3825 years old.
The same as your percentage of
that
the
number
in the
keeps coming back.
I know it's ironic. The older I get, the more skeptical I get of the Patterson film. It could be just a coincidence.
So back to our dog man in Wisconsin. just trying to keep some semblance of a thread going here. I don't know. Did either of you see that show? If you didn't see it, this is going to be a short conversation.
I didn't
get it. Haven't seen it.
Do you know anything about these dog man sightings in Wisconsin?
Are they sponsored by Alpo?
What I'm getting at is, what do we think about this? I mean, this is something that I've often, you know, I try not to throw rocks at people who believe in things that I have a hard time.
Unless you're leading a BFRO expedition. But anyway.
Well, no, they're thrown at you. That's the difference.
Yeah.
On those, you get hit by rocks. But I don't, dog men? I don't know. What do we think about dog men? What do we think about werewolves? Or are they just misidentified Sasquatch? Wouldn't that be funny? It's not a dog man. It's really a Bigfoot, and you just thought it was a dog man.
I think the bottom of the cryptozoological barrel is being scraped. That's what I think. When you're coming up with dog men, it's like everybody, cryptozoology is a great field, and we have these bona fide mysteries, but there hasn't been any really great, compelling news. So,
I was just going to interrupt briefly when you were saying scraping the bottom of the barrel. You know, what do you think is going to happen now that Hychek's got an order for 20 more episodes?
I know, man.
Are there 20 more things to talk about? I don't.
Yeah. It's going to be like Puppy Men next year.
What did he do? What do they call those?
There's still the cat people.
What are those twirly things called that people are seeing on videotapes?
Twirly things?
Those little, what am I, you know what I'm talking about, Craig, don't you?
They've already done that, the rods.
Wasn't that pretty much decided? Now well, I sound
they,
like someone talking about.
They already had an episode. There's already, one of the 13 was an episode.
But what I'm saying
rods.
Is, aren't rods like little flying insects that are flying in front of video cameras, and I don't know. I thought that had already been put to bed.
We're not going to reveal that until the final 2 minutes of the episode.
We've got conclusive.
But first,
fraud.
This word from a History Channel. What has happened to the History Channel? It's not. It's just.
It's not history, is it?
It's hype. I don't know. The hype channel. You can keep the H logo.
They could.
I don't know.
Well, after 8 o'clock at night, it turns into the hype channel.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
did they get
know.
No? So Craig, you're saying they got an order for 20 more episodes. So we're gonna have Monster Quest through 08 into 09 probably.
Right. So, I mean,
he better hurry up, man. He was shooting those like 2 years ago. It's gonna take him forever to make 20 more episodes.
Yeah.
That sounds exciting.
Maybe they're gonna do it from the perspective of the actual monsters looking for people, like look like from their perspective. They're gonna give cameras to the dog men, and they go, "We're going in search of researchers looking for us." You know, just because that's the only way. Spoofery is the only way to go now, it seems. Unless there's, you know,
I can see the cutaway to the Dogman cam with the, you know, across the bottom Dogman cam.
Which way did you go, Bill? Over there. Stop urinating on my leg.
Quit sniffing me.
The Dogman is now humping my leg.
I found him. All right.
Dogman. Good Lord.
All right.
Hey, did you guys see the thing I posted today at Bigfoot Forum about that gorilla walking upright?
Yeah, that was creepy.
That's creepy. It does it not look? I know I always mention midgets and dwarves, and I'm not anti-midget or dwarf, and I'm not making fun. It's just I don't know why I talk about midgets and dwarves, but that was amazing when that mountain gorilla walks upright. If you didn't know that it was a trained mountain gorilla from the back, you might think it's a dwarf in a really good costume.
To me,
because
it looked kind of like that dwarf on golf, but in a gorilla costume.
It's really weird how stumpy. You didn't really realize how stumpy mountain gorilla's legs are.
But he was walking great. I mean, he didn't walk for very long, but.
And were you amazed by how his pronounced his arm swing was? I mean, it was like,
he's walking.
You could Photoshop a briefcase and like a hat, and he's like on the way to the office in a 50s sitcom.
Did you see that, Craig? The walk-in
ape? No, I did not. I did not see that one. I profess that I have not been on the forums much today.
It's when are you going to air this?
I'm going to try to get it out the next couple of days, so Monday, Tuesday-ish.
Well, it's in the members' lounge, and the title of it is Gorilla Walking Upright. Looks a bit like a dwarf in a really good costume. That's the subheading.
Where did you find that? Because that was on that's a YouTube video.
I was at YouTube, and it was I saw a link somewhere about a gorilla, something about a gorilla, and then it was, you know, over to the right, that other little menu, and it said gorilla walking upright, and I clicked on it, and it's only about like 40 seconds long, but it's...
Yeah, I'm watching it right now. And, you know, the funny thing is, if he's a silverback, so like his hindquarters is silver. It looks like he's wearing little silver pants, little white pants.
Yeah, and can't you imagine that music?
Yeah, Craig, you got to check this out. This is, you know, this is fascinating. This is really great entertainment right now. People listening to us talk about a video that most of them may not have seen. This is the most entertaining thing on the internet.
They'll rush off to
watch the video.
Watch, you know, and if actually the if you go to YouTube, I believe the title was "Gorilla Walks Like a Man." Is that if you do a search on that, whenever you hear this, and you can see it, so it's pretty cool.
So, Craig, you guys, from what I understand, the TBRC, the Texas Bigfoot Research Conservancy, has set the date for your 2008 conference. Is that correct?
That would be correct. We are planning to have it the weekend of October 18th.
My wedding anniversary. Again. Yet again on my wedding anniversary.
Well, like I explained to you, it's a great opportunity. Lots of bed and breakfast. Bring the wife down. You can tell her you're taking her somewhere taking her out of town.
Very romantic anniversary where I go hang out with a bunch of Bigfoot nerds and she stays back at the...
Oh, there's also a Bigfoot conference there.
Hey, Craig, what was the name of the motel I stayed in there when I came out there? Uncle Shecky's Dead Hooker Shelter or whatever.
Two dead hookers under the Mattress Inn, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was. Well, I mean, thankfully there were two dead hookers underneath because that way it balanced the mattress out. Otherwise, it would have been lumpy. But
can you give us, Craig, any previews of who you might have speaking this year, or is it premature to say that?
Well, I mean, you know, heck, we're 9 months out, so as we saw last year, many things can happen. But I do have two tentative names. I do have one that is a confirmation, but you know, like I said, many things can happen between here and now. This is it hasn't even been announced to the members of my group, so I guess you guys are getting it.
Jeez, see now.
I think, come on, just give it up. It's Dogman, isn't it?
Well, no, it's not. It's not the Dogman.
It's one of his puppies.
It's one of the backup group.
It's one of his henchmen. No.
Bowser.
Bowser of Sha-na-na.
Sha-na-na, yeah.
Wow.
With that pose.
Yeah. I'm sure you probably see him at the Blockbuster, don't you, Scott, there, living in, you know, Los Angeles.
Well, I couldn't hear that. I'm sorry. I got the either the bad cell phone or you're talking on the tin can with the string again. What was that? I couldn't hear you.
Oh, that's right. I just said you probably ran into him at Blockbuster last week, living in Los Angeles there.
Yeah. It's I'll be honest, I couldn't hear it either. I just went, yeah, like I knew what you were saying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Was it a weather comment? Was it about the weather?
No, not the weather. It was a comment of running into Bowser of Sha-na-na at the local Blockbuster.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy, that was worth rehashing.
Yeah, okay. For three times. Count them.
Wow. Edit point.
You forced the issue.
So, anywho, you're not going to tell us who's
No. Henner Fehrenbach has committed to coming. Of course, he was committed to coming last year, and then he ended up having to move that weekend that the conference was, so it didn't work out. But he's committed to coming, and then we're planning to bring back Dr. John Bendernagel as well.
He's good.
He is working on a new Bigfoot book that is planned to be ready out April or May-ish of this year.
I look forward to that.
So he's hoping to get that thing wrapped so he can come down in October.
You should have Pete Aniello back and have him speak at the beginning so that people would actually get to hear what he said.
Yes, and maybe we can also have you give another presentation or a preview of our new website.
It'll almost be done by then, I bet.
We could throw that in there as well.
Actually, what Craig's talking about there is I'm working with some other people and making a website for the Texas Bigfoot Research Conservancy. And hopefully that will be visible on your local web browser sometime in the month of February.
Yes, it is a right spiffy website.
Yeah, it's looking pretty good.
Lots of nice animated GIFs and such. It'll be rather flashy.
Yes, it will.
Dogman on there, Dancing Dogman.
We've got some Dogman stuff, a little Dogman
good.
Section.
Yeah, reminiscent of the Dancing Baby of years ago.
Oh, God, yeah.
It'll be the Dancing Dogman.
The Dancing, yeah, okay. Yeah, I should say that one of the guys that the people I'm working with, I said that rather mysteriously, that it's my what I do during the day, my day job, my company is building the site for the TBRC, and one of the guys, we were sitting around on Friday afternoon having a birthday cake, because that's the great kind of place we are. We have cake for people when they have birthdays. Now, and
that's rather innovative.
It is, you know, we like to make the employees. Think that we care about what happens in their lives. So
who would have ever thought cake on a birthday?
Isn't that weird? Yeah, I don't know. That's just the way we are. We try to be as out there as much as we can. Anyway, the topic came up because, of course, we just had a meeting with you, and I think it was still up on the screen, and the whole company sitting in there. And one of the guys said, and I just want to have you respond to this because I'm curious to see what you would say. That he thinks that the approach you're taking is backward in that you're going out there to prove something you already suspect is true or know is true, and you're not going out there and just reporting on what you find. I don't know if that makes any sense. But basically, you're not going out there, quote, with an open mind. You're going out there with under the assumption that this thing exists and lives in your region. What would you say to this confused
this poor
man.
Misguided soul. Well, it just depends which how heavy of a hand does he have in the development of our website.
He's intricately involved, but don't worry. Okay. He's not going to listen to this crap.
But I would probably back off a little bit. I come from it from the point of, you know, Scott, you know, we were talking about with Jane Goodall and that giving some strength, but my, you know, the biggest thing to me is still the eyewitness testimony, which, you know, I know people claim is not valid, is not trustworthy, but still, there are thousands and thousands of people that are reporting that they're seeing something that they can't explain, that could be a dog man, but, you know, most of the time they don't mention the pronoun snout, nor the tail, or the collar, or the bow in the hair, but yet, you know, an upright primate of some sort, and you know, if these people are relating their stories, you know, there's only a couple of possibilities that you know they were hoaxed by someone. Could be Bob Hieronymus running around in a costume down there where they saw, or, you know, are they misidentified a person, a vagrant, known wildlife, you know, they're lying, or they're under the influence of something that's clouded their judgment, or, you know, or they could have seen what they say they saw, and, you know, if you know, out of all these thousands and thousands of people that say they've seen these things, if only, you know, if only one of them, you get down to the fact that only one of them is telling the truth, then there's something out there. And, you know, I come at this from the point of view that regardless of what all these other people may have seen, you know, I myself have seen something that I can't explain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before I was immersed in this culture, before I spent the vast majority of my free time in this subject, you know, my wife and I saw something on the side of the road back in 1994 that I can only explain as one of these creatures. It was something walking on two legs. It was covered with hair. It was approximately 7 foot tall. It was moving. And, you know, if I throw out every other eyewitness testimony I still have my own to fall back on. And to me, it says that there's something out there.
And I think that's what that's very similar to what I would have said, is that what he's forgetting when he says that is that many people in your organization, not all of them, but many of them, think they've seen something. So they're not going out there to just see what they find. They're going out there to see what they saw. They want to see it again.
Right.
Yeah.
And anyway, that's I completely agree with you. Of course I agree with you. You're the great one. I wouldn't dare not.
Now, when you first proposed this project to your underlings, what was the general consensus?
Yeah, I would say that there was a one of them who's helped me set up the various websites that I have set up over the years was just sort of sitting there taking it in stride because he'd already had his eye-rolling moment many years before. But there was sort of like a, like, is he kidding? Am I waiting for the punchline? You know, kind of a moment. And I think now we are all able to comfortably talk about the subject in front of one another. So we've come to a good spot. But I think what I really want is I want to get all these guys, and all these guys, there's like four people working on your site besides me. But I'd love to get them out into the woods with some people who have actually seen some things, and I think it might change their point of view on a couple of things. But it's fine now. I mean, now it's just another project, and we're just trying to make as good of a website as we can. And you know, to a certain extent, for these guys, it doesn't really matter what the site's about. They just want to make a great site. And I think it's going to show when everyone sees it here coming up pretty soon, hopefully in the next couple of weeks.
Hey, on an even more serious...
Show,
oh, sorry.
Show, you know, there's those people who feel that, you know, our current site has been static even more so than normal the last, you know, probably 7-8 months. And may have felt or may have said that perhaps we had, you know...
Folded up.
Folded up shop, thrown in the tent, you know, thrown in the towel, cashed in, cashed out, whatever, and...
Joined the Dog Man Coalition.
Yeah, or changed our name to the Texas Dog Man Research Center. You know, that we are still a viable organization. We are a 501c3, recognized scientific nonprofit research organization. You know, we are getting funding from universities and, you know, other people, not on the scale of some other organizations that are out there, but, you know, we are a legitimate organization that is still around, you know, building a new web presence that I think a lot of people will be maybe surprised, hopefully will be interested
in. Oh, you know, I'm biased, of course, since I'm working on it, but I think it's clearly going to be the best site of its kind on the internet. There's no other Bigfoot site that's going to be anything close to what your site is turning out to be, and I'm really, really excited about it, and I can't wait for people to see it. I think that it sets a new standard, I think. Not only in, you know, just the overall way that it works and the content. You guys have tremendous content that I think was either not present on your old site or very hard to find. It's going to be a lot easier to find now. But it just makes the way that we've designed the site, it presents a whole new legitimacy, I think, to the field. And like I said, I'm very excited to see what the population of the community in general thinks of it, and the reaction you get from people who are outside the community. I think it could be very exciting.
Yeah.
Hey, I was just going to say, on a related note, who do you think Bigfoot would endorse as a presidential candidate?
I thought he'd already endorsed Hillary.
I'm sorry, I forgot. Go on and talk about the site some more. I'm sorry.
I'm pretty sure that Bigfoot would be going for the Green Party. I'm just guessing.
Yeah. I don't think to, Romney. Right? Yeah, I don't know. I don't think he would support McCain.
Romney,
because Romney's hair would explode if you saw one.
Well, he just
I
looks like he's never been outside of a, you know, he can't get that far from a blow dryer, so I don't think he's ever been anywhere near where Bigfoot lives.
McCain puts up that thumb shot he always puts up. It's always kind of a little awkward. It looks like he's holding a hand grenade, you know, and I don't think Bigfoot would like that.
No.
But, yeah. That was a riveting little side journey I took there, wasn't it? I'm sorry. How long have we been on?
56 minutes and 13 seconds.
Holy.
The time just flies, doesn't it?
I think it does.
For us, it's flying by. For people who are listening, it's just, you know, droning on and on.
It only seemed like 54 minutes to me.
Yeah, isn't it weird how time flies?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty much all I had to talk about. You guys have anything you wanted to chat about?
Let's see. Wait a minute. I had to actually go out of the main room here because it's raining here and the people driving by.
It doesn't rain in California. What are you talking about?
Oh, my God. It's been pouring. It's been a deluge. It's been, and it's just very noisy, but I'm trying to think.
Any mudslides?
Yeah, what else?
Any what?
What's that?
Any mudslides yet?
You know what? With all the rain we've had, actually hardly any, but there was actually avalanches out here in the San Gabriel Mountains, like killed four people. It's incredible how much rain and precipitation has fallen here in the last week.
You know, that's one of my favorite little known facts about the Patterson-Gimlin film is that where they filmed it would normally have been very overgrown, but because of the rains they'd had the year before, it had all been washed out. There was a huge landslide just above.
Oh, that's right.
Willow Creek. That you can see where the forest looks different there. There was an amazing amount of water, so that was all scoured out. Today, if that had happened, you wouldn't see that thing walk for more than 5 or 6 feet before it disappeared in the brush.
Yeah, yeah.
You wouldn't be able to.
You mean Bluff Creek? You said Willow Creek, right?
What was that, Craig?
I said you wouldn't. You said Willow Creek. I think you meant Bluff Creek.
Well, Willow Creek is where's the China Flats Museum? That's in Willow Creek, right?
I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about the film site.
No, the film site as well. The film site was all scoured out, but if you go to Willow Creek, which is close, there's
25 miles or something like
big,
that. 30,
big,
I don't know.
Big landslide back in 66. So anyway, I'll stop now because that didn't really work.
As far as landslide discussion goes, that was pretty good.
I'm just trying to get it back into, you know, what we're supposed to be talking about.
I'm scouring Bigfoot forums right now for more. Topics. This just in, it's been proven. Good night.
We're done.
Yeah, body found, game over.
Oh, was it Dogman?
It was a Dogman.
Yeah, it was actually Dogman brought him in on a slab and said he was tired of competing with Sasquatch, kicked his ass.
Dogman,
and then immediately ran off and, you know. Sorry, I interrupted somebody.
No, I think that our second show is pretty much over now.